Good afternoon. Thank you guys for sticking it out. So I just wanted to say that this was submitted under the topic of using data to inform chronic disease, MCH, and oral health programs, policies, and environmental changes. So it's really not extremely data heavy like some of the other presentations you might be seeing, but I thought it was a story worth sharing. So I'm going to start by giving you a little bit of an overview about our department, talk a little bit about breastfeeding, and then tell you about the project and our process for. So the Florida Department of Health, our state health office is in Tallahassee, Florida. We have 67 county health departments that have over 255 sites throughout the state. We are the first in the nation to receive accreditation as an integrated Department of Health, meaning that all of our county health departments are considered part of our central health office agency. We are one agency. One of our priority initiatives is called Healthiest Weight Florida. It's a public-private collaboration. We work closely with partners to leverage existing resources to maximize reach and impact. These partners include businesses, hospitals, nonprofits, other federal, state, local government agencies, and coalitions and communities. Healthiest Weight Florida is taking a collective impact approach and encouraging partners and activating our 67 county health departments to focus on six topic areas or healthy places to help make that healthy choice the easy choice for all Floridians. The goal is to positively impact the health of Floridians by working with our partners to change the systems, environments, and policies that shape nutrition and physical activity behaviors for a lifetime. So one of the ways that we've done this is by really making a concerted effort to align several of our priority efforts. So Healthiest Weight Florida is this state-launched initiative, and it was kind of up to us to define what that involved. 1305, many of you are familiar with it, state public health actions to prevent and control diabetes, heart disease, obesity, and associated risk factors, and promote school health. And then the Preventative Health and Health Services Block Grant. So we've taken a very strategic approach to have all three of these initiatives working together to move the needle in the same direction on the same things. So most of this is oriented through 1305 and kind of the direction and guidance where CDC was leading us, and then leveraging these other two opportunities to continue to work in those directions. So breastfeeding is the best source of nourishment for infants and young children. It lowers risk for certain diseases, improves health outcomes, and positively impacts weight of infants and mothers. There are two sort of different recommendations. The American Academy of Pediatrics and the World Health Organization both recommend exclusive breastfeeding through 6 months, where exclusive breastfeeding means that the infant does not receive any additional foods except for vitamin D or fluids unless medically necessary. What the difference is, American Academy of Pediatrics recommends for 6 months through a year, the mother continue breastfeeding while gradually introducing solid foods, and after 1 year, breastfeeding can continue if mutually desired by both the mother and the infant. World Health Organization actually recommends that breastfeeding continue until age two or even beyond. So looking at breastfeeding initiation exclusivity and duration at a national level, around 80% of babies are initially breastfed. At about 6 months, that falls down to about half of babies still being breastfed, and that's any breastfeeding, not exclusive. And at 12 months, around 30% of babies are still being breastfed. For exclusive breastfeeding, by age 6 months, it's down to 22%. So there's a lot of room for opportunity to meet what those national recommendations would be of having all babies exclusively breastfed through 6 months. So hospitals research has shown that maternity policies and practices in hospitals can influence breastfeeding and provide mothers with the information, confidence, and skills needed to successfully initiate and continue breastfeeding. The Baby Friendly Hospital Initiative is a global program that was funded by the World Health Organization and the United Nations Children's Fund, or UNICEF, in 1991 to encourage and recognize hospitals and birthing centers that offer an optimal level of care for infant feeding and mother-baby bonding. It recognizes and awards birthing facilities who successfully implement the 10 steps to successful breastfeeding and the International Code of Marketing and Breast Milk Substitutes. So the 10 steps are evidence-based practices that have been shown to increase breastfeeding initiation and duration. So currently in Florida, 10 Florida facilities have achieved the baby-friendly USA designation, but we have probably over around 150 if we're looking at both birthing centers and hospitals. So in Florida, we have a unique opportunity through our Florida Breastfeeding Coalition. They have the Florida Quest for Quality Maternity Care Award. So one of the challenges with Baby-Friendly Hospital Initiative is Baby-Friendly USA, the organization that recognizes these hospitals and facilities that meet the criteria, they can tell us a certain number of facilities have registered with them, but they won't be able to tell us anything about the progress until something a facility's been recognized. So in Florida, we know that there are 25 facilities working towards the baby-friendly hospital designation, but we have no indication where they are along the way. So the Florida Breastfeeding Coalition, the Quest for Maternity Care Award, it actually offers a complimentary recognition. It's aligned with the 10 steps to successful breastfeeding, and it awards stars. So there's up to 5 stars that you can earn, and with that, we're able to get facility-level progress towards achieving those 10 steps. And they actually, once a facility earns the baby-friendly designation, they are then awarded the 5 stars. So they do correspond in that sense. So looking at Florida's data, our state total, 82.5% of babies are ever breastfed. So that comes from a vital statistic. So that's just in the hospital, was breastfeeding initiated, yes or no. When we look at differences by age group, we do see that it increases with maternal age. So 86% of mothers that are over 35 are more likely to breastfeed. Looking at race and ethnicity, we also see some differences with Hispanics actually having a higher prevalence than non-Hispanics and whites having a higher rate than blacks. And geographic disparities, we definitely see those as well. Florida is a very geographically diverse state. And you can see by the shading, there's a lot of differences depending on where you live. So in 2013, breastfeeding initiation, although the state average was 82.5%, it ranged from as low as 45.3% initiating in some of our counties to up to 91.3%. So we had proposed a project to address breastfeeding, and the Baby Steps to Baby Friendly project, we had seen both other states as well as in our state projects that were working with hospitals, providing funding and mini grants to facilities to encourage them to work on these 10 steps of successful breastfeeding. So for the period of March 2015 through September 2015, we had a 6-month project where we wanted to provide funding to facilities. The facilities would develop, they would do a self-assessment of where they sort of stood on the 10 steps to successful breastfeeding. There's a tool that breaks each of those steps down into sub-steps, so they're allowed to really see where they have opportunity for growth. So they would do a self-assessment, develop a work plan to specifically address where the areas they needed to improve, and then they would do a post-assessment using that same tool to see what progress had been made. So we had the funding that we had set aside for this project, and we knew we wanted to partner with our county health departments to provide this funding to hospital facilities across the state. But the question was, which facilities? So we looked at the 20 counties with the lowest breastfeeding initiation. And so those are the ones that are highlighted in orange. And what we found was many of them don't have birthing facilities within their county, meaning women in those counties are having to go outside of county boundaries to receive maternal care. So we started thinking about it a little bit more because we couldn't just fund the 20 counties with the lowest initiation rates because they didn't have facilities to partner with. So we took our vital statistics records and we kind of grouped the birth records for those women in the 20 lowest counties with the lowest initiation and created a new variable. And then we used that variable and analyzed breastfeeding initiation to identify the actual hospital facilities serving the women, the largest number of women from those counties. We took a two-step approach. So in addition to looking at this sort of need piece, we also did a survey of our county health departments to gauge interest in partnering with us on this initiative. So I have findings both from the analysis and from the survey. So from our analysis, we found that the 20 counties with the lowest breastfeeding initiation was represented about 8,000 births, which was only about 4% of our births statewide. The average of those was 62.1. So if you'll remember, that our state average was 82.5. So these lowest initiators are really on the lower end. And the range of the 20 counties with the lowest initiators was 45.3 to 71.8. When we looked at where those women from those counties, where they were giving birth, we found that they were giving birth in 85 different hospital facilities around the state. However, 97 of those births were in 20 facilities. So those 20 facilities were located in 15 counties. So one county had multiple facilities potentially. From the interest survey, we found 12 counties expressed interest in partnering with us on this project. However, only three had a facility serving the lowest initiators. We really wanted to kind of find a balance between need and interest. So we ended up sort of working through those two lists. In the end, we ended up funding 15 county health departments. 11 of them had facilities serving women from the counties with the lowest initiation, and 6 of them had expressed interest. So there was some overlap, but we really did prioritize those serving the most in need. We ended up providing mini grants to 24 birthing facilities. So through those 15 county health departments, mini grants went out to 24 facilities. And through those mini grants, we were actually reaching facilities that serve 23% of births statewide. So in addition to being able to make improvements in those facilities serving the women with the lowest initiation, there was a bigger reach since these facilities also served women from other counties as well. We found that 13 of the 20 facilities serving majority women from low initiating counties ended up being funded and were part of this initiative. So this map sort of shows where those facilities ended up being funded with the map you saw earlier of our lowest initiators and our counties with no birthing facilities. So you can definitely see the groupings, and you can see in the locations where the facilities are adjacent to those counties that had the lowest initiation and did not have a facility. So you can kind of see some in the middle here down in South Florida where they're kind of both going north and east and west to receive services. And that is really everything I had to share. So I think we have some time for questions if there are any. That's a good question. I mean, I would say that obviously you have to initiate to be able to have longer duration. But I do think the vital statistics, you know, initiation is somewhat of a limited variable since it is just that snapshot in time. So it would be interesting to look in that more.
I wonder how many women and why they don't even initiate.
Well, so I actually have so some of the success stories that we receive from the facilities that participated in their sort of end of evaluation. Just a little anecdote, one of the facilities said, we were able to identify problem areas in our practice, conduct a study about our specific population over 4 months, and solve many of our breastfeeding issues. The skin-to-skin promotion is not only in our delivery rooms, but our operating room has greatly increased our breastfeeding success. In fact, several moms who had no intention of nursing found that after skin-to-skin contact, their newborn was interested in latching and nursing. These moms continued to breastfeed their babies and were very happy that they were providing the best nutrition for their new little bundles of joy. So we do have some anecdotal stories from the facilities that they're seeing changes that, you know, where somebody didn't even have a thought of breastfeeding, and through these new practices, they're taking that on as a practice and embracing it. It's a very strong cultural norm, like the La Leche leagues. It's very common practice.
It's a little tricky, like, for example, with African-Americans. And in some cases, you know, I've heard anecdotal stories
you know, women, even a middle or upper class, going in and having babies, but never getting any compensation, lactation compensation. So were you able
so
in this study to get a sense that these hospitals that were interested in participating and also becoming baby friendly were making more initiatives?
So the 10 steps definitely touches on that. It's on staff education as well as patient education. So I do think that that's going to be a core area that's being addressed. So one of the things that I guess is a next step for us with this is when the 2015 vital statistic records from Florida become finalized, which should happen in the next month or so, we're planning to go back and do an analysis of these facilities, and we can look at some of the racial and ethnic differences and see did changes occur with specific populations within these facilities. So we're really excited as that for sort of, you know, from an evaluative standpoint. In addition, this project, this model was very successful, and so it's actually continuing. So we kind of call what I presented here phase one, where we really use that health equity lens. Phase two is actually ongoing right now. It started in March of this year, and it was pushed out to all 67 county health departments with a different funding stream. Our maternal child health block grant actually put money towards this initiative. Same thing, where they're offering dollars to their county health departments to partner with birthing facilities. So it'll be interesting to see how it grows. So some of the ones who participated in phase one that were identified more based on this, you know, need are continuing to participate. So we'll actually get to see some changes over time. But it'll, yeah.
How about this, like, communication? Because in terms of the baby-friendly hospitals, the ones that are already, I'm going to say credited,
recognized.
But the ones that are also in the process, not even just in Florida, but even other states, like, this information that, like, say, you collected, the project, you know, research results you collected, is that there any way that that gets disseminated?
So, I would say that through through CDC with our 1305 grant, they definitely are wanting us to share any successes with them along the way. So once we've been able to do that sort of second round of analysis with this phase and see kind of if any changes did occur within these facilities, I do think we plan to write it up in some shape, way, or form and disseminate that. Yeah. Thank you. We did see that same pattern with our data. So right now, with the facilities, we're not focusing on the facilities targeting any one specific population, rather just the facilities initiating the 10 steps. But I do think it's important for them to keep in mind the differences of the population they're serving and who might benefit from additional counseling. Definitely. Yes, definitely. Our Bureau of Women, Infants, and Children does have a lot of initiatives going on, and we are working with them on partnership and trying to maximize our efforts, build strength by multiplying what we're doing. So, but that's a great idea. I don't think that we've specifically shared with them the analysis that we've done here.
You can just share the data.
Yeah. Right. Thank you.